What's going on, everybody? Happy Monday night, Tuesday morning, Bachelor recap. Wow, we're kind of figuring this out as we go. If you're watching this, you might notice that I am recording from my house because it rained in LA yesterday, and apparently LA has power outages when it rains. So the studio is not working, so we called an audible. We're recording from our home, and Lauren Zima has graced us with her presence yet again. And I got to say, Lauren, I'm really glad that I experienced this power outage when I had you on the lineup, because you're so easy to work with we're friends. It'd have been super weird had to have to wake up and be like, hey, do you want to like come over and record a podcast?
I walked in and I made myself right at home. I said, what do you have for my coffee? You don't have oat milk. This might be our first fight. I don't know why you don't have oat milk. I'm going to send you some. We'll talk about it later. But look at all the wine you have hanging behind me right now. If you guys are watching on the video, Nick has his own little wine collection. So we're, I don't know, either going to open some this morning or I'm coming back in a couple hours.
Yeah, we have some Spade and Sparrow back
sure,
there.
Sure. A little shout out to KB supporting the friends.
We also have Wells Adams.
Family's wine, which is very good. He sent Chris and I some. I love it. So happy to be here, and we'll be looking in all the nooks and crannies before I leave. What will we find?
It'll be fun. So Lauren is going to help us break down. Is this episode 4?
Yes.
Episode 4 of a Matt season. Before we get into that, a couple house notes. House notes.
Because here we are.
Here we are. Don't forget to, check out our Ask Nick episodes for those of you tuning in to our Bachelor recaps. If you're interested in people sharing their tragic problems and stories and us telling them how to fix it. Really entertaining stuff. People seem to love it. Be sure to check that out. Vilefiles.com. If you're interested in some merch, check out our episode tomorrow. Ricky Williams joins us. If you are a football fan, you certainly know of Ricky Williams. He is a legend in the football community. NCAA rushing record. One time held that. Long, successful NFL career. Very interesting guy. Also incredibly into astrology. He's, an expert, studies it. And we have a very rich discussion about that and how it plays a role in relationships. And I got to say, it's the first time ever having a conversation about astrology. My attention was captured. He really changed my perspective on how astrology can be a useful tool and not just something that we like to talk about. So if you are interested in that, be sure to check that out. And if there is nothing else, should we just get to this recap, Lauren?
Let's get to it. I'm a little bit afraid to get to it on this one, honestly.
Probably destroy some of these women.
Oh, it seems to be the theme.
Lauren, wow. Yeah. I guess for starters, where are you with regards to the women overall in the season? How are you enjoying the season? How are you enjoying Matt?
I am very much enjoying the season because every week I don't really know what's going to happen next. I feel like we kind of keep getting new villains. And then now my big thing this week was I don't know who the villain is anymore. And I don't 100% know who to root for anymore, because not only are the women really being pretty cruel, but I'm not seeing a lot of people except for our girl Katie stand up for anybody unless it's not being shown. So I have a lot of questions.
Yeah, a lot of great points, which what we've come to expect from you, Lauren.
Wow, thank you.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, like on that end, it makes it really interesting, especially this early on, that it's not predictable yet.
Yeah.
That it is also very early. It's so early that we're even getting new women showing up, that one of which, Michelle, seems like a legit contender for Matt's heart.
Yes, very quickly.
So it's still early, right?
And I mean, Matt posted on Instagram about her, better late than never.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Matt has been kind of breadcrumbing us with his social. Serena, he called her hot. I think he tweeted something about
It's that, really interesting to see Matt on social to me, because I feel like Tyler Cameron gave him a boot camp in like how to be on social with this show. Even though we'd never seen him as a contestant on the show, I think Tyler seems to have given him some lessons and he's doing a good job and they're really playing, having some fun together. I liked that he embraced the eyes open thing, that he was like,
yeah,
I'm awkward, I'm weird, like with this, let's just lean in. I liked that. How did you feel about the women coming in, the new ones?
As it relates to like the decision?
Not the women specifically, but just new women coming in at this stage in the game as a former lead.
Like the show's decision to do that.
That we're doing that period.
I think it's great. You know, it's one of those things where at this point, they constantly have to think
doing
of
new things.
Creative ways to make this a fresh and compelling TV show. I mean, they have their playbook, right? They have their, this is the show, and it's always going to be that to a certain degree, but you have to change it up after so many seasons, and it makes it interesting, and it gets reactions from people, and it's going to give us a lot to talk about, because it elicited a response from many of these women that was very unattractive, and it's going to give us a lot to talk about. So from a show standpoint, I think it's great. All you ladies out there, if you're into supporting other women, unlike the women on Matt's James season, then I have a great company for you. Bev is a female-first canned wine brand that was founded to change not only the way a product is consumed, but the way an industry and culture has operated for generations. In an industry that is almost exclusively masculine, Bev is breaking norms and creating something for the female perspective that is approachable, fun, and consumer-centric. They have five varietals, Rosé, Sauvignon Blanc, Pinot Gris, and Pinot Noir, as well as a limited edition extra fizzy sparkling white wine. Their wines are dry, crisp, and a little fizzy. Super refreshing and delicious. We've worked out an exclusive deal for the Vile Files podcast listeners. Receive 20% off your first purchase, plus free shipping on all orders. I suggest trying the best-selling Ladies Night Variety Pack so you can check out all their delicious varietals. Varietals. What a fun word. Go to drinkbev.com/VIALL and use VIALL at checkout to claim this deal. That's drinkbev.com/VIALL. Their four packs are great for gifting, hosting, social distance hangs, and obviously watching your favorite reality TV dating show. There's a lot of great food delivery apps out there, but some of them don't focus on excellence. Well, I have one for you that does. Caviar is bringing all great local restaurants right to your door, literally. Hey, obviously a lot of people, they're, you know, we just don't have time to cook or we don't feel like cooking, but maybe you don't want to order fast food. You want to have quality food delivered right to your door, and you can get that through Caviar. Sushi, dim sum, pizza, falafel salad. Get whatever food you're in the mood for on the Caviar app with delivery from your favorite local restaurants. Get Mediterranean, vegan, vegetarian, and more. It's super easy to find good food for whatever you're feeling. Looking for something that's not dinner? Caviar can also help you get ice cream, fun snacks, breakfast, a healthy lunch, and more. And just for our listeners, Caviar is giving 20% off your first order. Just enter promo code VIALL at checkout. Remember, that's 20% off your first order with promo code VIALL. Download the Caviar app and use offer code VIALL for 20% off your first order. I think it's hysterical, your boyfriend, and how he does it. I watch Chris come in, and
he like, walked in like a secret agent.
Yeah, it's just like if you're, it's like I've no doubt Chris is a wonderful father, but I gotta imagine he's so good at like the straight face that does he fuck with his kids all the time? You know, where it's just like it's clearly he knows everything that's going on, and he comes in like an emergency. Hey, can I grab you right now?
Like, Matt,
we have to leave right now, and a straight face. You know, like and like clearly,
it's so good.
I don't think I could do that. Like he. And like, but like, Chris must enjoy it. He knows everyone's gonna lose their shit. He must be just smiling on the inside, and it's like DEFCON 5.
Look,
he's coming in, it's just very serious and very stoic. I mean, props to Chris for
the
that.
The man
I
makes
mean,
the most of every moment that we see him on television. You know, when he saw him walk in, I was and then like watching him and Matt.
Does
walk
he
next
do that with you?
These suits. Yeah, he walks in and he's like, "All right, we have to talk about something. Can I see you outside? We got to send Nick some oat milk because
I just imagine he does this all the time. But what a gift that, you know,
what
it's
a gift.
With great power comes great responsibility. And I wonder if he, you know, hopefully he doesn't feel drunk with power with his ability to hold a straight face.
Man, I will say, you know, now that I think about it, we've actually talked about that sometimes before. That's so funny that you're saying this, because we had this like minor scuffle the other day. And I was telling him sometimes you need to like work on your reactions a little bit in our relationship, because, oh my God, I'm just realizing this now, Nick, because I gave him a gift and I was like, what do you think of it? And he was so poker faced about it. Wow, we have a lot. He's gotten too good. Yeah. He's gotten too good.
Yeah, okay. He was like, well, find out next week on.
He was like, can I see you outside? Where I'll tell you what I think.
I mean, it's amazing, because I'm just like, I know that he knows, right? Yeah. And it's pretty hysterical.
Well, I loved it. And I agree with you. Look, we want the show to try new things all the time, right? That's what we love. That's how we always get headlines out of it and interest in it and discussion out of it. And also, this isn't something that's insane. We do this on Bachelor in Paradise. New people come in. In this case, they were unfamiliar faces, but I thought that it made sense. They were tying it into Matt having this record number of applicants. And I'm sure we'll get into the specifics of what was said more, but the argument from the women that it just wasn't fair that these new women came in, I'm like, what's fair? You're on The Bachelor.
What are you talking about?
There is no fair. There's no rules here. Like, yes, we might argue about whether, like, what somebody does, you know, did you steal the time? Was that rude? But in terms of rules, we're always told there really aren't rules.
Of course, here. Right?
Or the rules can bend and change and grow and, you know, just like relationships.
Well, Anna starts off the week by saying, she even suggests that she is responsible, along with maybe some of the other women, that like we have fought over silly things, and that is beneath us. So let's not have any more, which is great. I mean, they do this every season of like,
let's restart.
Let's restart of, yeah, kind of, you know, it's a little preview of, you
of
know,
how we won't restart. How fresh.
Yeah. and she truly, I have so many problems with Anna. Here's the thing. I don't like, as many people know on this show, I'm very reluctant to make judgments on one's character, mm-hmm, in real life, mm-hmm, through watching them on the show. You know, soundtracks, edit, context. There are certain things that I'm reluctant to do. For example, Chelsea. There are a couple moments this episode. The first time I watched it, I was like, oh, Chelsea, I was so disappointed. I was so disappointed in many of the women. And yet I went back and watched, and I'm not prepared to say that for sure, because there, every time you got a reaction shot from Chelsea, it was just Chelsea. And so that reaction shot, who knows?
You're wondering where it may have
who knows?
Come from.
Okay, however, okay. But you look at Anna and Victoria, it is clear that there's so much data and so much information and so many comments from them about their behavior and the things they said, that I'm comfortable with saying that I think Anna and Victoria are just kind of toxic. They kind of have garbage character traits. Like, I don't think they're great people. I think there's a lot of insecurities, and I think there's a lot of nastiness at their core as humans. And I am not interested. Like, you know, Anna, have a 4 or 5 women show up. I mean, also, here's the thing. Anna is essentially admitting to us, mm-hmm, that she knew, yeah, she knew Brittany was coming on the show. She knew. She didn't know the timing.
Because why else would she be talking to these other people?
Yeah,
Chicago?
You know, she was framing it as if like Chicago is a super small city and everyone knows everyone. And somehow everyone in Chicago knew she was going on The Bachelor, and to like give her a heads up that this other girl, you should watch out for her. Clearly, Anna was telling her, you know, probably every friend she has that, mm-hmm, she's about to go on the show. So word got around, and then Brittany told her friends, and they have a mutual friend. They probably work in the service industry in Chicago. You know, they're Brittany.
So what's Anna's job?
What is her job? She's a copywriter. Who knows? But she could be a copywriter and also a bottle service girl. Mm-hmm. In Chicago, which is totally fine.
We have got to learn more about the Chicago social scene. Being from the Midwest, I think our knowledge is lacking.
I'm I'm tapped in a little bit.
I'm not tapped in. I haven't lived there since I was 17. I was like, the Portillo's? I don't know. Where are we hanging out?
There's a handful of nightclubs. I don't know what the popular nightclubs are now.
Last big hit was the Stratford Square Mall.
They're probably different. And Brittany could have probably, maybe is a bottle service girl, right? And maybe even Anna was, or has a friend who is, which is totally fine. So either way, they roam in certain circles. She heard some rumors and then decided to, like, she keeps admitting that she knows it's just a rumor and yet keeps insisting on talking about it. And that's just a terrible quality to have. So you combine the fact that she knew Brittany was coming on the show. Mm-hmm. Clearly, everyone knows. Brittany, even when she was talking to Matt, said, I've been sitting in a hotel room for a week. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not her choice. It's not her. Clearly, I know they don't know what's going on, right? I know this is all new to them.
Yeah.
But they sat in a hotel room for a period of days.
Well, that was what was wild to me about the time argument and what's fair. I was like, this girl's been alone in a hotel room for 3 weeks. Let her speak to a person. I'd be like, you know what's fair? You getting some human contact right now. Yeah. Do you want to talk to any of us? What skincare do you use? Like, let's have a discussion because you haven't had a human conversation.
Argument that I've been here for 3 weeks, you know, 3 bachelor weeks or whatever, and I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet. So, like, get in line and wait your turn. No, it's quite the opposite. You've essentially wasted 3 weeks. I don't know what, probably because Matt's not remotely interested in you. And you know what? That's okay. We all need to accept the fact that in the world, there's plenty of people not remotely interested in us. And they don't want to sit down with us or invest time with us.
Yeah.
He's just not that into you.
You know what was interesting to me was that he kept 4 of the 5 new women, which made me think
he really
knows who he's into.
He's really disinterested in all these women who are, you know, are there. Mm-hmm. It's also interesting. And I thought about this. There is an insane amount of women currently on the show, given that it's week 4. And I haven't, you know, I don't know if you've talked to Chris. I haven't talked to any of the producers about this, but I got to assume this is silly based on the fact that they don't have to travel. So there, you can be like, you know what? It's a little nutty. But the fact that we're just going to keep 20 women.
Well, they have said many times, I feel like we've heard that line several times, of a record number of women applied, how many women applied. So it seems to me like it's almost just part of the season that all these women were so into Matt that we're having more women than usual.
Matt is clearly a catch. Nice guy. He's very attractive. That's bullshit. Like,
you don't think a record number of women applied?
Maybe.
We also had so much time for women.
That doesn't matter. There could have been 5 million people who applied, right? Mm-hmm. But that is not
in terms of why we're keeping people.
Yeah, why we're keeping extra people, why we're bringing women in late, right? Because, you know, Chris is just like, well, there's a record, you know, everyone wants you. So now, Chris is acting like they just showed up. You know, like the season started, Chris got a call and we're like, I want to meet Matt. They're like, well, hey, I guess we'll have to let you on. Like, clearly that's not happening, right?
I see what you're saying, that like logistically.
Okay. It's impossible to travel like 25 women.
Well, it's more expensive.
It's more expensive. It's harder. But because they don't have to travel, that gives them a freedom see, like, you know, let's just keep a couple extra people for a couple extra reads because it's going to drive everyone nuts.
Well, I think it's like, if you're going to be stuck somewhere, find new and interesting plot devices to use. So great, you know, because
it's fantastic.
They don't have travel. So let's counteract it with bringing more women in. And obviously it worked because it riled these other women up so much. There was something that Anna said, and I'm getting back to her, but
We can bash her all episode. I'm sorry. I just, like, it was so disappointing and kind of disgusting behavior.
I have to say, last week I wasn't turned on Anna. Last week I was.
No, she seemed fine.
Yeah, last week I had like a 180 on her this week pretty much, because last week I was actually thinking some of what she said made sense. But I think this week with her interaction with Brittany, you've already formed an opinion about someone who you have had no direct, seemingly, interaction with, which is...
She said this multiple times. I don't know her.
I don't know her. At least last week, you know, I think the women were saying they felt like Sarah was isolating herself or she like whatever. I'm like, at least whatever you want to say, at least you're interacting with that person. Anna kept saying, I don't know her. And then what really stuck out to me was when she was talking to Brittany, when she confronted her about these escort rumors, I think she said something like, I know this is a horrible thing.
Thank you.
To
I was just about
say.
To. No, she goes, I know this is a horrible thing to say. I'm sorry. And the next words out of her mouth were, would you like to address these accusations?
Right. And she was like, I'm like, babe, you made them, right? How many people are in this conversation? And then at the end she goes, I'm glad we had this chat. I'm like, what?
No,
we're flabbergasted.
I think Anna sucks.
I think it really seemed to me like she's gotten very swept up in like the environment or something. Like I'm not saying that's all of her. I'm just saying the person I saw last week to this week, it feels like she's just gotten really amped or something. Like I think her and Victoria together, you know how people can sometimes fuel each other's characteristics or something? It's like when I was watching that scene of the two of them on the couch and they were just bashing everybody. Victoria, by the way, is saying stuff at this point where I don't even know. I'm not even totally offended by it because it's so
it's
insane.
Ridiculous. But it's so insane. But she is a toxic human. Like, this is a perfect episode that, and I've said this, you know, on our Ask Nick episodes, mm-hmm. this is a perfect reminder that the brain requires stimulation and it prefers pain to boredom. And mm-hmm. Victoria's in it, like living proof that, like, when people ask when they watch this show, like, Victoria's been so outrageous to your point that there are people that's like, she must be a paid actor. She must be a producer plant. They don't have to do that. People in this world, in this country, are insane enough. And you get certain people that are so desperate for attention and they'll go about it anyway. And Victoria is proof of this. Like, she knows that what she's doing, but she doesn't care because she just loves the attention. She loves the stimulation. She loves being involved in this crap. And there is, and there's no limit. There is no level of like things she won't say as long as she's getting attention.
There was a moment to me, and it was a couple weeks ago when you saw her talking to a producer. And I was sort of glad they included that because she was saying to the producer something like, see, none of them, like, they don't like me. They don't get me. And I was like, oh no, because I've never heard people, or not, it's been a minute since I've heard people so strongly say they believed someone was an actor. And like, I don't think she is. I the stuff she's saying is so, and she's so casual in her, I mean, she would have to be a Meryl Streep. I would be like, actually, if she is an actor, I'm going to be like, well, get her in movies.
Get her an agent.
She's really good.
Yeah. 100, yeah, totally.
I'm impressed. She could be the first Oscar winner to come out of The Bachelor because I'm on board. I don't know. But this stuff she's saying is just so over the top that I think I sort of wondered if I was there in person as Katie confronted Victoria, like, what would I be doing? How would I handle this? Because we're not seeing a ton of the women confront the people who are saying these things, which is making me wonder, are they in agreeance? Do they just want to stay quiet? Is Victoria so off the wall that they don't want to risk engaging with her? I'm very interested to hear once we get to a tell-all where everybody's head is at.
We talk a lot about gut health on this show and how important it is for your overall immune system. And Huzzah is making it super easy with their wonderful and delicious probiotic seltzer. What more can I say about a super convenient probiotic that tastes good and helps you feel better, helps you with your digestion? My favorite flavor is the raspberry lemon after I've tried it. It used to be strawberry hibiscus, which is great, but that raspberry lemon is so tasty. Tangy, fruitiness, and a citrus spark with zero sugar and just 5 calories. Celebrate those rare, cherished, live out loud moments with Huzzah, a bold new probiotic seltzer with all the healthy benefits. Stock up on Huzzah's probiotic seltzer by using code VIALL for 20% off your order at drinkhuzzah.com. That's code VIALL for 20% off at drinkhuzzah.com. It's a new year, and making sure your house smells wonderful without putting toxic chemicals in your home, Natural Habits Essential Oils is there for you to diffuse essential oils in your house. If you struggle with headaches or you just need a calming scent to help you relax you at the end of the day, also our roll-ons are our wonderful solutions that are better than, say, taking ibuprofen every day, which is really bad for your gut health. Relaxation Rise is my favorite blend to diffuse in the house in the morning. It gives me that kind of fresh morning feeling. NHOils.com, code LOVE for 30% off. That is code L-O-V-E, NHOils.com, code LOVE for 30% off. I think it's really important to point out that anyone not part of the mean group is definitely clearly part of Matt's favorites. Like, anyone who's part of this mean group, count them out. Like, they are not relevant. Even Katie, I don't see it necessarily with Matt. I mean, I've said this the whole time. Like, Katie is going to go home the week before hometowns. It's a lock. But, you know, Katie is a voice of reason. She was, you know, so like, we only need one voice of reason. We don't need, because if we have all these voices of reason, then we don't get the kind of temper tantrum from all these other women. They feel empowered and emboldened to act the way they are. And it's seven against one, not seven against seven. And I think that's kind of why you don't see them.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm fairly confident in how that all played out that way.
Yeah. Well,
you just kind of let it happen.
Then it becomes she said, and all this back and forth thing. It's just so interesting to me, like, how much I feel like it escalated to this week, because I guess it's the device of seeing how they react to totally new people who they don't know. Like, when that beauty queen came in and Victoria instantly told her she wasn't the queen, took the crown off her head. I mean, I'm now like reading some direct quotes, but Victoria said, Victoria doesn't know Brittany at all. She says Brittany's straight up serial killer vibes. Victoria says Catalina's the dumbest hoe I've ever met. MJ says, if you're telling me the first time that things get hard, pack your bags, bye. It's like, and then maybe my favorite part was when Victoria wanted an apology from Katie, because she, Victoria, called the other women trash. Was that what had happened? Victoria said something like, take the trash out. Katie confronted her and Victoria was like, I want you to apologize to me because I have the right to express myself completely.
I mean, no, Victoria sucks, and I don't think she's that smart. She got schooled by Katie, because, like, Victoria is that type of toxic person.
Yeah.
That whether it's a boyfriend or a friend, what she does, it's the truth is irrelevant to Victoria.
You can't context. Reason. I realize
is,
you can't.
All
reason.
She does is just spit out trash out of her mouth, and she does it with such consistency, and she does it where she believes what she. It's like all she does is gaslight in a sense, because, like, she is, with a lot of people, very capable of making everyone think they're crazy, because they're like, this person, I'm trying. Most people in this world assume that the average person has a level of, like, sanity, and they're going to say sane things. And Victoria just says insane things constantly. So you're like, what the fuck is going on?
I think that's why I kept writing down, it's just laughable. I don't think I would have confronted her in this situation, because I would have been like, she's so off the wall. Like, yeah. I'm not even going there.
Props to Katie for like, Katie was the perfect person to have that conversation. She didn't flinch on like, I'm proud of my vibrator. Loved it. I'm like, I'm not going to let you shame me for, like, being sex positive, because I don't, it's tough in that situation. Like, sometimes people just, like, don't know what to say with people who say crazy shit. And I'm glad that Katie was able to have that conversation. She handled it wonderfully. She was, I mean, obviously Katie was a big star this episode, and she had to fight the group.
Katie was our vibe of reason.
Yeah, our vibrator of reason. I also just want to point out Anna, who said early on when the women showed up, she said, I'm literally losing my mind, or I'm going crazy, or something to that effect. If you have the self-awareness to know that you are going crazy, maybe everything that you want to say or do after that might be a bad idea. I don't know. Just
take a step back.
Take a step back. But no, there's, it's the, so, I mean.
This episode, I will say, and I was sort of reflecting on, like, when I interview people before the season, the leads, I always ask kind of, what's the vibe of your season going to be? But the thing is, the lead sets one vibe and the contestants set another, right?
Yeah, Matt has no idea what's going on in this house right now.
I couldn't have, when I asked Matt that question, I actually don't even remember what he said. But, like, Peter's season, right? Kind of catty influencers. Because people were annoyed on Peter Weber's season with how much the women were fighting.
I thought about that watching this, where, like, the tone at the end of Peter's season was, I kind of hate all these women. from Bachelor Nation. It was like, there's really no one to root for.
We didn't get a bachelorette out of that group.
I also think that's why you're not seeing, like, it, there was a clear separation between the cattiness. And I don't think that's going to happen this season. But that's why you had Abigail staying out of the drama. You had Bree stay out of the drama. So,
well,
like,
that's what I'm saying.
They were kind of protected. They're very much. And again, I'm also assuming they weren't part of that. But no matter, we don't know if they defended it or.
Well,
there was
some discussion of it last week with Sarah. And what I noticed when Sarah was talking to the women was Abigail said, but like, Sarah, we don't know you. And like Serena said, Sarah, your behavior is toxic or whatever. And then this week we kind of saw some of those women not involved, and we really kind of got isolated to us who are the mean girls. I don't know another word. I was like, this, we had catty influencers on Peter's season, and this season is the mean girls.
so mean girls. They're vicious. It was hard. It was hard to watch. Like, I was disgusted and I was disappointed. I was just like, oh, I'm so disappointed. Mm. I'm so disappointed in this behavior. It's like, I mean, again, I can't say enough just how, like, there's one thing of not being your best self on that show and letting the environment get the most of you and maybe being a little snarky. But Anna consciously knew what she was doing by spreading this rumor.
I know it's a
there was a look on her face. I know it's a horrible. She was giving an ITM. She's talking to her producer. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine how this is going out. They're like, well, what have you heard? And when Anna was saying, well, I heard she's an ass, she's smiling. She just fucking loved the juice. She was like, you know what? I probably shouldn't, but you know what? It's too good not to. And she said it. She said it with a smile. I just want to point out that sex workers deserve love. Even if
that was
Brittany happens
too.
To be an escort, you know what? I don't give a shit. For her.
Be safe. Do your thing.
But
yeah.
You know what's most likely the case? She probably does some bottle service in Chicago, and she probably meets a lot of people who spend money, and she's friends with them. So what? I mean, I don't even want to spend any time trying to defend Brittany because there's nothing to defend. Mm-hmm. I don't care, because whatever she is, like, to be called out in that context and called a slut or a whore or any of these names.
Oh my God, I forgot, like, the Victoria thought.
Oh my
thing
God.
She thought was so clever. Slore. I was like, babe, this is not like in the Bring It On Mean Girls lexicon of even being a creative insult. We gotta do better, you know? You seem to be a little more incensed by Anna. And I'm wondering if it is because of what we're saying of where we're sort of like, Victoria's so off the wall, but Anna seems to be a little more grounded in.
Maybe, but like, it's more Anna was the one who started that rumor. I mean, certainly Victoria loved it. She went along with it. She embraced it. And I'm not saying that Anna and Victoria are better or worse than each other. Mm-hmm. They both suck, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But I'm just focusing on Anna because I do think there's a part of Victoria that's, she's not a paid actor, but I think she's acting out. I think she's putting on her own performance. Mm-hmm. I think Anna is just so disillusioned and so in her own needs and in bullshit that she isn't thinking for a second how harmful her words are and how toxic her behavior is. And
well, that's a huge.
I don't think here's what's different about Victoria and Anna is I don't think Victoria gives a shit whether she's toxic or not. I think Anna thinks she's actually being righteous. You know what I'm saying? I think that I would give Anna credit that maybe if you like explain this to her, she might feel bad, but it doesn't excuse her, where I don't think Victoria gives a shit.
It's the groundedness for me.
But she still sucks. She sucks so bad.
The thing about an accusation like that is that, as Brittany said, and as Katie said, when Katie was like I was in a sorority, so this is a ref, but you know, you have like a house mom. Katie feels like that vibe to me. Like, she's let me talk to everybody. We're getting nods. Good. People, like, she's talking to everybody. She's counseling everybody. She's like standing up for people. She's voice of vibe of reasoning it. And what they said was so right, that this is just this accusation that becomes a she said that she can't really defend herself against because Anna didn't come with any type of receipts. Anna had nothing backing what she was saying. So then it just becomes something you have to talk out, and you're not even talking about anything real.
Well, that's the problem in that world, is that accusations, they don't need, like, yeah. I mean, you can accuse anyone of anything in that world. You're here to get famous. Immediately, you're on the defensive. Immediately, you have to explain why you're not there to be famous, or why you're there for the right reasons. And so, Gail, that happens in that world. You kind of know what you're signing up for to a certain degree. But this accusation of...
when Katie said to Matt, this is something that can really affect people's lives, I was like, yeah, this is not the... I mean, I'm personally of the belief that at this point that it's impossible to come on the show without some desire for fame. Because
you're not.
Everybody's gray area. There's no black and white. I'm here for love or not.
You don't go on the show and you hate attention.
Right. Because you know you're going to get it no matter what. It's impossible to not. So
and that's fine.
But this is when you're talking about something that can affect somebody's life. It just felt bigger. It was bigger and it was baseless. And I'm interested to see how Matt handles it. I sort of hate when we get in these moments, although I know it's, you know, whether it's The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, when we get to these moments, which we always have, where the lead has to come in and set everybody straight. I'm like, we're all supposed to be adults here. And yet that is why I love watching it.
I actually, in that regard, I'm kind of envious of Matt. No, here's the thing. I've said this before. It's different when you're the Bachelor versus the Bachelorette. Historically, we're okay with the Bachelorette coming in and yelling at the men for being, but like, and not that you want to as the Bachelor, but you have to be very careful not to be a dick and lecture some bad behavior, right? But these women are so toxic and so bad that like, I think every Bachelor gets frustrated. I mean, every Bachelorette gets frustrated, and that frustration, you see some of this acting out and you're just like, yeah, you're frustrated because you want this to work out. Like Matt, you know, again, Matt also might like attention, and he's certainly aware of all the benefits that come with being the Bachelor, but the sincerity that comes from the lead being like, I really want to meet someone, is genuine and real. And I believe Matt's sincerity as much as I believe anyone else's. The lead wants it. And you see this behavior, like, how is this helping me find someone? And you get really frustrated. So it'd be kind of like fun for Matt to be like, what the fuck? And he won't look, because everyone's gonna be so mad at those women that Matt's gonna be able to be like, this is like not what I want. And he'll be able to send him home. It'd be kind of fun. Because like it's so stressful when you break up with people in that world. It's like it's just so stressful, and he gets kind of a free pass.
I love it. You're wishing you had women this bad so that you could have easily confronted the problem.
Well, just because you can vent and just be like, you know what? Because you kind of know, you see it. You're like, you guys suck. You're not taking this seriously. And you're just like, you don't have to put up with it. And Matt's gonna, he's gonna take some frustration, but he'll be able to like release his frustration on some of these toxic women.
It's also interesting to me because I feel like with the premiere, I walked away thinking, oh my gosh, we have, so many amazing women. And now I feel so differently. And I'm hoping that this is gonna get worked out a little bit with Matt, and then we're gonna see, you know, kind of the cream rise to the top again, because that was how I felt after night one. Like, God, they're stunning. And we've got lawyers here, and we've got like some really, really, you know, people with amazing stories, but I haven't heard a lot of those like personal stories yet. I think it's coming. I liked his date with Michelle this week.
We have. Yeah. I mean, Michelle rock star. I mean, I loved the one-on-one. There was something about Michelle that, you know, last week we were just like, who's going to be top four?
Yeah.
I can see Michelle Izu being top four. I mean, Matt is a great Bachelor in the sense that he is really good at, he has a good poker face, or maybe it's because he's never been in love that he's just like, you're great and you're great, and let me explain why I could marry you, and let me explain why I could marry you. And I'm just like, who does he like? I think it's harder with other Bachelors where you just kind of like, hey, he's just different around here. When Ben was with Lauren, it was just like, I mean, he might like and he's nice, but like he's really different. Yeah. And Matt's able to kind of, I can't really tell yet. I was like, Serena kind of came out of nowhere, but Matt was like very complimentary and very focused on her. But with Michelle, I mean, wow, it was like
he was saying, time flies with you.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen all I need to see. What I liked, we talked about these real connections they had, like both being athletes and they both work with kids. There was some real grounded foundation to work from in terms of building their relationship. It was really nice. I didn't understand the scavenger hunt. I didn't know what they were looking for, where they were going.
Doesn't matter.
Can't figure out if I'd want to be in a hot balloon, a hot air balloon that wasn't going anywhere. That was another question I had. But they seemed to have a lot of fun together. And then they were in the car museum. I'm like, we are all over the place on this date.
It makes a lot of sense that one of the new women got the next one-on-one just because it's, you know, going to freak everyone out. That being said, who got that one-on-one? That's all Matt, right? Matt clearly, Michelle, out of all the women who came out of at least the four, Michelle was his pick, right? Brittany, he might think she's attractive. I don't know. I don't think she's going to be.
Do you think it means anything at this point who he's kissing with his eyes open?
No. I can't.
Brittany got the widest eyed kiss yet, I thought.
I think people make way too big of a deal about this open eyed kiss thing.
He was kissing Michelle with his eyes closed. I don't know.
Here's what I think happens. I think everyone.
Was it really sunny? It was quite bright. I think when they were in the
I think everyone, including you and me and your boyfriend, sometimes has their eyes closed and sometimes has it open.
I have never opened my eyes during
a kiss. I don't buy it. And I think if you had. Here, I'm comfortable in saying this, Lauren, and that if you had a camera on you 24/7, you would see things about yourself that would surprise even you.
Things? Sure. I do not have my eyes open during a kiss. I cannot imagine what
you're seeing. You've never opened your eyes during a kiss? Well, sometimes you enjoy looking at the things that you find physically attractive.
But when you're up close, all you're seeing is like pores.
Do you mean if you're kissing someone and you're like, and you're not to get all...
But an exfoliant, like where are we at?
Why does making out have to be like Braille? Like, you know, like why do you have to feel your way around? Maybe you, I don't know.
Because no one looks good that up close because you need to close your eyes to preserve.
But also like you could be looking down. I think Matt's getting some tough luck when this eye
not,
open.
I'm just saying, I actually think it means something. I think he got lost in the kiss with Michelle. The eyes were closed. Eyes were closed when kissing Serena P. I'm thinking this is a tell.
Maybe.
On Matt's poker face.
Well, here's a tell of Matt's. Okay. When he says, thank you for sharing. You look pretty. He doesn't like you.
Who did you notice that with?
He said that to Chelsea. And he kind of says that to him. He's like, well, thank you for sharing. You're very pretty. You know, like he clearly is not into you.
I've interviewed him twice now. Matt is just a very good conversationalist and someone who's really easy to talk to. So I do think I think it's like when you go on a date. I mean, I think we've probably all had dates like this where maybe we went on a date with somebody and like we could keep the conversation going and we're talking and that other person thinks it went really well. And we're like, oh my God, that was such a mediocre date. But you know, I could talk to a wall if I needed to. I think we might be encountering that with Matt. I think he can just talk to people.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I think with these one-on-ones, it's like, I don't know, what does he like? Because he's very present with all of them. And that makes a great bachelor. So he's doing a great job that way. But I mean, I'll tell you what, the Michelle date, that was a great date. It was a romantic date. They knew that date would be like, would kind of stimulate a lot of emotion. Mm-hmm. And those dates are often reserved for people the lead is potentially really into. I was really impressed with Michelle. In fact, Michelle was, other than Katie, a hero for me this episode because she was very redeeming and very likable, and she seemed to have high character in an episode where there's so much low character and so much like pettiness and nastiness that.
Yeah. You know what I also didn't get about any of it was just even the point. And that's what raised questions for me, because if you're going to get angry or confront someone about stealing time from you, okay, well, at least that's because because they wronged you personally in some way you feel, because you feel like you want to get more time with. These women kept saying it's new versus old, the new girls versus the OGs. And I was just thinking, why?
It's not so ridiculous.
The Amazing Race. It's not a team competition. Why are you doing this? What's the point?
You got that with the Tayshia's guys too.
Oh yeah.
This is like on steroids. This is like very concentrated and more impactful, but you got a little bit of that. Even some, you know, when I was, you know, talking to Noah and talking to some of like the guys, they even kind of referenced, it's like, you know, there is a bond, right?
Sure.
Like I certainly, like when I showed up on Caitlyn's season, it was like, there's this weird, you know, you're not part of the cool group, the in group.
Oh,
there's
a, you did experience.
Yeah.
This.
There's a camaraderie there, but this, you know, at least I crashed it. Like these women know it's a COVID world. They know, especially Anna, that like they've been waiting.
And like, it was multiple women brought in by the show. It wasn't I came and crashed the date of my own, you know, apparent accord. It was like, no, we're bringing in, I mean, Chris came in, we're bringing in new women. This is what's happening. So, yeah. And again, but it's just, it doesn't do you any good to be like, it's us versus them is not going to get you anywhere. It's not that type of competition show. So it made no sense to me. But, you know, we liked Michelle.
I thought Michelle was fantastic. And then, so we had the one-on-one date.
Yes. We also had the group date where they raced in the pumpkins. And poor Maggie was just out there.
Maggie. Wow.
Paddling around.
Interesting.
What happened there? And I like her. And I want to see more of her.
Well, she's... We've never had a cast person, you know, she's from like literally Ethiopia. Yes. So, you know, the diversity in this season has been fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like even Chelsea talking about kind of her childhood experience, mm-hmm. You know, why she cut her hair was, I don't know, like I learned something, you know, and that's cool to kind of just hear different people's perspective mm-hmm. that we don't get to usually see on the show.
I love Maggie.
Maggie, you know, certainly, but like clearly there's a disconnect there between Maggie here's what I don't get about Maggie.
Being off in like the corner of the lake, which isn't even a thing, but that felt like a metaphor for where things are at with her and Matt. She's like really, like she's sweet and we like watching her, but Matt's like, Maggie, I can't find you in the lake. I don't know. It's like, whoa.
Here's what I don't get. She's a pharmacist. She's clearly had to take a lot of chemistry classes. Okay. It's in the kind of the science group. And you saw her paddle. And while maybe she's not great at physics, she can't be that inept with physics that like...
You're talking about her awareness of water.
Her awareness of like paddling where like she's going to skim just a little bit of water. Like, it's just like, take a pause, Maggie. Look at the situation and think about how you might row yourself to shore.
Adorable.
She's clearly smart.
She was so cute. I was just like, I love this little moment of levity and a little humor because I needed it amongst all this. Ben Higgins couldn't have said it's a foot race to the finish more if his life depended on it. He really wanted to make sure we knew the rules in this strange fall into love competition. My favorite shot of it was when Victoria wound up in the squirrel costume just on her hands and knees digging through the leaves. I felt that we needed that and I was glad that they gave that to us.
I'm a little surprised that, is it Mari?
Yes.
She's
gorgeous.
I thought she had some villain vibes. I thought she'd be in the drama, and I thought it was interesting that she wasn't, because what we haven't seen her really have any time with Matt. I don't like.
Where does she stand? She's kind of falling in the middle.
Yeah, I think she's gonna be gone soon. Like clearly he likes Bree. Bree getting the group date rose was
I still care.
I like you.
Don't be scared.
The group date roses are, you know, they're kind of tools. Like they're, you know. Everyone's probably likes Bree. She's not part of the drama. They get it, right? Mm-hmm. But if he gave it to one of the new girls, oh my God, that would have just... But instead of doing that, he gave it to Bree because this show is still about love. And and they're always going to walk a fine line between like making everyone lose their mind and allowing Matt to find love. And Bree getting that rose was significant for Bree in that, don't lose your mind.
Right.
Just so you know, I like you.
Yes.
And so Bree already having a one-on-one and a group date rose is significant. And, you know, I don't know, but like, so we have Chelsea, we have Lauren. They've also got group date roses. Usually if you go mm-hmm. back and watch prior seasons, that's kind of a preview of a potential one-on-one coming up. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, it's not your time yet. But I got to say, I'm just surprised. The Chelsea 3 thing threw me off because regardless if she actually said it or not, that's how they aired it. Mm-hmm. And it made her very unlikable.
Wait, said what?
When Katie, again, was lecturing the group.
Oh, yeah.
The only sanity that was coming out of anyone's mouth was from Katie. And they showed Chelsea sounding very petty and sounding very catty. And she, they made it look like Chelsea was part of the mean girl group.
Yes.
And so to me, and then you look at the fact that she had some specific time with Matt and then she got a group date Rose. Those were kind of two, it was like a juxtaposition of like, I'm very confused. Mm-hmm. The show has me confused. And like, what are you trying to tell us about Chelsea? Like, are we, you know what I'm saying? Like,
is there something else there? I'm also interested just because Matt, again, wasn't on the shows before. I'm like, how, you know, it's interesting to see who he's giving roses out to where without him having ever been a contestant before and being like a little new to it all. You know, it's making me like, I agree. I was surprised by the Chelsea rose. I was kind of surprised by the Brie rose. Honestly, I thought that I didn't know she would have needed that reassurance that quickly.
I mean, well,
but good to give it to her.
The Brie doesn't surprise me because I think Matt likes her and everyone needs reassurance. And you don't want to happen to Brie what happened to Sarah. I mean, I don't think Brie's capable of doing what Sarah did, but like everyone's human in that world. It's very confusing and it's like you need validation, especially if you're, there's an expectation of, you know, falling in love and even considering getting engaged and things like that. But yeah, I am confused about the Chelsea one because like, is Lauren and Chelsea going to get one-on-ones? Maybe, probably. I'm just more confused by the pettiness that we saw from in a little bit. Like Lauren was like one of the girls that were, she was.
Peripherally petty?
She was like, yeah, she was like in that group and she had some.
That's what I'm saying. It's hard to tell. Like this episode did help me notice who I zoned in on as like, oh, you're really saying some wild stuff. But there are some who are like, we've seen Serena C say a few things. There have been some people that have said a few things, but not a ton of things.
The only thing that I remember Serena saying is when the girls first showed up, she was like, hey, listen, we're just all fucked up in the head right now. And, you know, it seemed like Serena was trying to just like almost be helpful.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem very mean girl-ish. But like MJ, very disappointed in MJ because I thought MJ was like kind of a very nice. I thought MJ had a lot of Katie in her where, you know, like she's probably nice and sweet and cool and down to earth. But MJ seems to have a pretty nasty side to her.
You know, it makes me want to go back and look at everything again. I keep thinking about how there just wasn't reason for it. You know, like these women came in and there wasn't a reason to go this viciously for them. And the ones who did go this viciously, it shines a spotlight on like, on who they are, I guess.
Are there any women that we didn't hear from about the drama that haven't got any attention from Matt? Because like you can make like Rachel, Brie, Abigail, they've all have had some sort of validation. Serena, validation. Jesenia, class act. She had all the reason in the world to like,
we found one. So yes, cheers to Jesenia.
You know, as a shout out to Jesenia.
Big shout out.
Maggie. Shout out to Maggie.
Shout out to Maggie. Did she? Legend has it she's still out there on the lake.
Yeah.
Yes.
So anyone who hasn't had any Matt time,
right,
who wasn't part of the pettiness, I just want to say congratulations.
Thank you.
You're a decent, good human natured person, and anyone else, fuck you. It was so nasty. It was such nasty behavior.
Hard pivot right now. Do you think Matt has worn more turtlenecks than you did?
I only wore one.
Really? It felt like you wore more. Maybe it was a powerful.
It was thick.
It was unforgettable.
It was hot, and you had me like looking. It was itchy. Matt looks good in a turtleneck.
I'm wearing one right now.
Yeah, clearly he likes them. He's embraced them, and I mean he looks good in them. So I've no criticism.
I just didn't know
how
you felt about passing on the mantle of like the turtleneck wearing bachelor.
I don't think I wore it as well as some of the other ones, but I also think I didn't particularly love my turtleneck.
I did.
You did?
Yes.
It was really hot.
No, you should wear more.
We
got in the promo this sort of West Side Story-esque walking moment where the two, I think everybody was out on a power walk, and they, it was like two sets of women were walking past each other like, it's the new girls versus the old girls. Like, I was like, what is happening? What I'm now interested to see is if next week the new girls show a vicious side. Is it going to become this war, and like, how quickly will Matt extinguish it, and who will make it out alive? I don't know.
It's interesting, but I want to also point out that this is the women, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm only pointing this out because look at last season, mm-hmm. Tayshia's season and Claire's season. Very different season. You had an older group of men. It's harder to get those, you know, like maybe people who are like, this is a younger group, and Katie's 29 and Katie's like one of the few.
Victoria's 27.
Same one. And so you have, like, that's why, you know, like when Noah was quote unquote the villain, you had me being like, this guy's not a villain. He's just like,
well, I'm not a believer in the age thing. Cause then you had somebody like Serena P, and I think she's 23.
It's not a hard line. Yeah, I'm just saying in general, the group of men were more mature, mm-hmm. age or not, than this group of women.
Yes.
And so you didn't have a lot of drama. You didn't have this petty nastiness. And if the producers could have gotten that out of them, they would have loved it, but it's just hard to do. You can't make them like be so petty that like these women, and I only point it out because like it is so ridiculous, and we've driven this point home, how these women have fully embraced this, like, you know what, just give me a reason to hate someone. Really? They showed up 3 weeks after me? Good enough. I fucking hate you. You know, like, that's how they're acting, and they just needed a reason to hate someone. And that's just immature and nasty. And you got that on such a smaller fraction with Tayshia's guys. And that just is a testament to the maturity of those men versus the maturity of many of these women.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't believe that. I mean, I'm thinking back on how, with Claire and Dale, people were like, Dale was forced to propose. I think that editing can happen, of course, as it does with any TV show. But it's not like we're frankenbiting and editing all this stuff together to make these people.
There's a built-in pressure.
Things.
I mean, yeah. Clearly, well, I mean, listen, Chris with Claire and Dale, that was as aggressive of a, so here's a ring. I don't know what you want to do with it. Kind of like, I was actually surprised with Claire and Dale, just how much it made it seem like Chris was almost pressuring the engagement. I was just surprised to see it. I was surprised they aired it. You know what I'm saying? Because in my experience, it's just everyone's kind of like, I mean, this sounds nuts, but I guess I'll do it. You know, like, It's never been so in it. Like, it's never, I've never seen it in so many other people's faces. I've never seen it in my face. Like, well, there was a pressure. Yeah, don't get me wrong. It was like, there was a pressure that that came from just knowing what the show was about. Mm-hmm. But it was never like, like when Chris was like, hey, Chris talked to Claire, Chris talked to Neil Lane. And this is how they aired it, which I just found it was fascinating. Yeah. And then he talked to Dale. Everyone knew Dale was going to propose except for Dale. That's how it came across. I don't know if that's how it went down.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know when all the different conversations happened, but regardless of like when he talked, Claire wanted Dale. So I guess I always looked at it as he said, Claire wants to be with you. So, you know, now it's like the only option here would be if you want to do this, this is like where Claire's at. Claire said, when Chris said, what you want next a proposal? Claire said, that's the dumbest question you've ever asked me.
Oh, I'm just more like Dale shows up on, they can just talk about Dale and Claire for a moment,
sure.
But I don't, he's, you know, a lot of rumors out there. Dale showed up on a season as naive as anyone, right? Regardless of he wants fame versus, mm-hmm. you know, whether Chasen or Ed or Noah, you know, like his desire for fame more than, you know, Matt or, you know, all these guys who, you know, go on the show, like we talked about.
Yeah.
Claire decided she liked Dale, mm-hmm. and Claire is very aggressive with her feelings. He makes it very known. She's very direct. What was Dale going to do in that situation? The criticism about Dale, like what was his intentions were, I don't know Dale. I don't know anything about Dale,
right.
But like he was put in an insane situation that I try, just trying to imagine what it would be like having been in that world. Like I can imagine what I can see how confused, and I don't doubt that he liked Claire, but it was kind of like most of the time people take this leap of faith after 9 weeks of, and he did it in like two. And he's like, I guess I like you. And I'm just saying that's an insane situation. And then he got to know Claire afterwards. I mean, I feel for Dale in that regard.
You're right that we feel for Dale. The show's a reality show. Yeah.
No, I know. But I'm just, you know, that was a very unique situation where I was watching it and being like, what is Dale going to do? It was kind of like Cassie and Colton.
Oh.
It was like, what do you do with a bunch of cameras on you in the lead of the show, who's kind of in charge, or it feels like that to you, is like kind of saying, this is what I want. It's very hard to go against the grain. Well, I'm not saying Cassie didn't like Colton. I'm not saying Dale didn't like Claire. I'm saying that probably wouldn't have been their choice. And that was never going to happen. But if the conversation went to Dale first, but whatever you want, man, it's cool. Whatever you want, Cassie, it's cool. I think the outcome would have been very different. I think it was... In those situations, they were the last to know. And they're like, you know, I like you.
But you're just, but you don't know when, like, I guess I'm just also saying, going back to what you said before, I don't know the order of all the conversations. I don't know either.
I'm just
the order of the conversations, or like what doesn't make it onto air, what more happens in conversations. So it's also hard to say all
that. It's more specifically to like what Colton and Claire wanted. And it's just kind of it's just like the people go on the show know very little. And it's just all. Dale made his own choice to get engaged, but I don't think he would have done it if it was presented differently to him. That's all. And I think Claire's is anyone to blame for that, because it was...
Yeah, I guess we also have to believe that adult people have their own faculties about them. Dale's a 32-year-old guy, you know? We can't be like, you do what you want to do and also...
I'm not saying Dale was forced to get engaged by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just saying it's kind of like, I guess, fuck it. We'll see what happens.
Oh, I feel quite, yeah, sure. I think we're both saying the same
thing.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah. It's just kind of, it mates for a messy situation. It was, I guess when it comes to Claire and Dale, it was always going to end this way. I feel like.
Oh, I agree.
Right?
Yeah, yes, I think so. I mean, with them breaking up, yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I just feel bad for, you know, the, like, what, like, who knows about, like, do you know if Dale was cheating on Claire?
As far as I know, he was not.
Okay. And where are these rumors coming from?
I don't know.
They're coming from Claire?
I don't know. As far as I know, Dale was, I mean, it's been like so much back and forth. I'm not even 100% sure that I'm updated on all the headlines across all the outlets, but the reporting that we had at Entertainment Tonight was that Dale did not cheat on Claire at all. And that he had real feelings for Claire, and that but then things got to an unhealthy place in the relationship. And, you know, I think that, I always really want, I remember saying on your podcast, I really wanted to interview them together, but they didn't do interviews after their, I think they did a really quick thing on GMA and they did a People magazine spread, but they didn't do a lot of interviews and I really wanted to talk to them both together. I had questions, but you know, here we are. I'm not surprised by the outcome, but I wish them both the best and we'll see what's next for the Dale Moss brand and the Claire Crawley love story.
Probably not much for either. I don't know. I mean, I hope Claire finds her love. She deserves it as much as anyone. You had a chance to interview Sarah.
Yes.
She certainly made in one episode a lasting impression in terms of how she handled it. There's obviously her story about her father. It, you know, again, kind of almost came across as her father. While I get why she left, it's not really why she left. She left because she got bullied out of the house. But it also, Sarah came across as a drama queen. Like, and I was curious what you thought of it, especially after having a chance to talk to her.
Yes. Having a chance to talk to her, you know, I think people, when you do get a minute to interview somebody, then you, I mean, of course, you see the more human side of them.
Sure.
You're talking to them in person instead of them being on a TV screen. I had to ask her some tough questions because I think the viewers had tough questions for her after watching her. Ultimately, I asked her, why did you leave? And she said her family was the reason that she left. That's what she said. You look to the side. You have questions. What did you think? What was your take? Because I didn't get it. Let me get yours before I explain.
Well, you can't believe her father was the reason she left because her father was sick when she came on.
Mm-hmm.
Many of these women, as we talked about, have proven to be very nasty, aggressive bullies. And they flat out threatened her and bullied her out of the house.
Yeah.
Fine. I think Sarah was guilty in the sense that she clearly came across as someone who is used to getting attention, used to getting what she wants. She's a drama queen, and then faced the wrath of these women and thought, I don't want to deal with this. This is not going how I expected. My dad, it's like her dad, was the reason. It was, I buy the fact, it's like, why would I, like, I'm just, you know what, I'm just put it in, just put things into perspective for me.
Yes.
But I do think, had she not been bullied, had she been welcomed,
I asked, were you prepared to stay for 2 months? And she said, yes.
Okay. So I think that's true.
My summation of it would be that what you just said is right, that it put things in perspective for her. Like, if this is what I'm experiencing, why am I here when I should be home?
The women made a fatal mistake is like, Sarah's decisions and actions were very wrong in terms of how she disengaged from the group and like completely just acted like no one else was going to, she couldn't handle that. Let people bury themselves in a sense, let people dig their own grave. And the women made a very big mistake on Sarah was wrong, but because they were so nasty, then you made her look sympathetic because of the situation she's going in. Had they not been so mean to her, Sarah would have been very unlikable and very much the villain. And that's the mistake these women made, because you're like, who's the villain and things like that. Had Sarah stayed, had they not bullied her, we would hate Sarah. If I'm a viewer, we would be very much not Team Sarah. She would be very much the villain. The focus would be on Sarah. They would all, and now that Sarah is gone, that's why you have this kind of, sharks versus jets kind of.
I'm so ready for you to be a producer, Nick. Are you ready?
No, I'm just here to critique.
When are you gonna sign on?
They don't need me. But yeah, I mean, the women should have just shut their mouths and let Sarah suck, and they now put the target on their backs. And here we are.
And by the way, well, then honestly, kind of the reverse happened, because Sarah took a step back and now these other women have revealed more about themselves. Like, I feel totally differently about Anna this week than I did last week.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Trash. Before, she was like just someone Matt wasn't into, and now she's a trash human.
Yikes.
I have no problem saying that. Listen, if I'm certain of this, maybe Anna's listening to this. Certainly someone Anna knows is listening to this, a cousin, a friend. They're going to go back to Anna, and I'm going to give you some advice to give to Anna.
Okay.
When you go on tell all, don't justify our actions. Oh. Just apologize. Own up to what you did. Go on and say, I've watched it back. I'm disgusted with my behavior. No one should act that way. It was like, say all the things.
Own it.
Own it.
I always say own it.
And that's all you should do. I hope that Anna watches it and is just as disgusted with how she looks as we are. I hope she doesn't blame the show or blame producers, et cetera, because like things were condensed to like, but she clearly said these things. I hope that she does. I don't expect that from Victoria. There's no way. And that's where Victoria, Anna might be slightly better, because I hope that Anna's capable to ground in this that you talked about.
Yeah.
Like, Victoria, there's no way. I could tell Victoria to apologize. She's coming out guns a-blazing at Tell All. I promise you that. There's no way.
Okay.
There's no way she'll be contrite.
Okay.
Zero chance.
Okay.
There will be more of the same. It will be the Victoria show of just nonsense.
And then we'll see her on Paradise with a crown made of seashells.
I don't, probably, I hope not, because like, listen, as a viewer, I'm thankful for Victoria in that sense. She's great TV. Mm-hmm. She'll be in our top 10 our power rankings because she is a prominent character.
Well, if she's going to go on Paradise, there has to be some believability that anyone would want.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She might have really burned out because, a lot of times in Paradise, you like to see the kind of like the redemption story.
Sure.
There's nothing redeeming about Victoria.
You know what? But I'm really a believer that, like, I'll give you a second chance if you apologize. You know, I mean, I just
don't think she has it in her.
Yeah.
I think Anna does.
I was speaking of another Victoria because people keep being like, we had two Victorias back to back. Victoria Fuller on Peter Weber's Tell All. What a
great
180. What a just mature, owning things. I remember being captivated by that because I think we all love a redemption story.
But if you go back and watch
Victoria
on Peter's season, you can't even compare the two Victorias.
I'm just saying, I'm going to sit here and say it. If Queen Victoria comes on the tell-all and if she apologizes and she says all the things you just told Anna to say, I'll give her a second chance. I will.
All she has to do is show up and just say, I'm sorry. How do you,
what's the difference between what you just said and that? I'm saying if she shows up at the tell-all, if she gives real heartfelt apologies to many women, if she talks about what she's learned from her behavior, how wrong she was, yes, I would give her a second chance because I think people deserve second chances.
I agree with you there, but because, like you said, Anna on the ground in this, Victoria Fuller on Peter's season.
Right.
You're just saying
you don't think Queen Victoria's capable. You don't think we're going to see it.
The rumor mill for, I'm just kind of disgusted with Anna knowing that she's spreading this toxic rumor. That being said, she even said, I'm losing my mind. Fine. But Victoria Fuller was losing her mind the whole damn time.
Yeah.
And again, that's not an excuse for acting. But Victoria, the Queen Victoria, is not losing her mind at all.
Oh, no, I know. As I said, I'm not
so
disagreeing
if
with you.
So if she apologizes, far more follow-up questions to be like, are you really sorry? Are you just like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't even believe it.
I don't know what she could say for me to be like, okay. I don't think she will, so I don't think we're going to have to worry about it. But if she does, then then why? Because Anna can go on and say, I was so insecure. Mm-hmm. I was so, like, but if the queen does that, she has been toxic since she got out of a limo. Mm-hmm. And Anna hasn't.
But there have been moments when she did her little erotic love story, the other women were cheering for her and laughing.
The women like her.
Yeah. So it's
the me like the group kind of sucks. Like Victoria's not the only trash person there. There's
I'm
a lot
just
of
saying,
trash
Nick,
people.
Look, she said to Katie, I can express myself however I want and say whatever I want. I'm not holding my breath for an apology. I'm just saying that I'll give people a second chance. I will.
Generally I am too. I just don't know what Victoria can say to get me to believe her.
Well, I guess we're going to find out.
Who's your top four?
That I think Matt's going to pick. We did this. By the way, you put Spencer in the top four in Clarentatious season.
I did, yeah.
And I told you I didn't think that was going to happen. And guess what?
I've been very spoiler-free the past few seasons. Yes. It's been fun guessing. I bet like 75%. Spencer, fall from grace.
Fall from grace.
You know,
he had one episode. I think that in terms of who I think Matt seems to like, definitely, obviously Bree. I think he really liked Serena P. Really likes Michelle. Rachel, he seems to still be very into. I think there's a couple maybe that we still haven't seen yet. Kit, I asked him about Kit in an interview, and he kind of gave a big smile when he was talking about her. But we haven't seen a ton of her the last couple episodes, so I'm interested in what
we always see a little bit. Yeah, because
she did make one pretty mean comment to Sarah, but she wasn't really involved in the drama this week. Matt did have kind of a moment with Jesenia. I don't know what would happen. We didn't see her, as we said, involved in the drama this week. Maybe more from Jesenia. He did kiss her with his eyes.
We haven't Piper, who was last week. I kind of thought was just going to be gone. Striking when she she really caught me off guard. She looked very good in that gown. She's very striking. And then Matt and her had a nice conversation, which was like, okay, this is not nothing. So I could be wrong on Piper being like a non like not relevant. Mm-hmm. I think she had a nice moment and she's, you know, very, very beautiful. And she definitely got more airtime. So I'm curious to see if maybe something happens with Piper. I was very this thrown off by the Chelsea group date Rose.
Yeah.
But maybe, who knows?
Matt's throw. I agree. Matt has a poker face. I don't think we'll see Katie in the top. I think they have like a friend vibe. I haven't seen any chemistry.
The only thing I'm certain about this season is that Katie is going to go home the week before hometowns.
Wow. Okay.
The rest.
He put it in writing.
Who knows? I've never been more certain about anything in my life.
I have never been more certain that Victoria Fuller or I've never been more certain that Queen Victoria will emerge the fan favorite.
You think she's going to be a fan favorite?
Being funny. Let's just go insane, Nick. That's how I feel right now with this show.
Well, that's a good thing. They're keeping us on our toes.
Keeping us on our toes.
So my top four last week was the same, except I put Serena in there. Because my whole thing last week was she caught us off guard, but that was a date where she didn't have a sad story kind of thing. So if you're on a date and there's no like tragic story, it's a good chance it leads into you.
I thought they had some of the best conversations I've ever seen on the show, yeah. Period.
But then Michelle kind of had a very similar date. Not, you know, just a nice, normal, well-rounded person. And there's nothing wrong with a sad story, yeah. But like we do love our sad stories. And so if you have a sad story, mm-hmm. you might get an opportunity to express it, especially mm-hmm. if there's some interest. And then Michelle, and so you get Michelle and Serena P. Right now, I mean, Michelle, I'm a huge fan of. She came out. I just think she's... really, she almost seems like, how did they find Michelle? Like, why did she agree to go on this show?
Because Matt is the most desirable bachelor there's ever been in history, and a record number of women applied, and he is the 25th milestone bachelor, and I can just keep going.
Yeah. But I think she's great, and so I guess right now I'm going to put Michelle in my top four, but okay. Who knows? I'm confident in the Rachel, Bree, and Abigail.
Oh my God, I don't think I said Abigail. God, where I like Abigail. But
yeah, right now this is all about the drama. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I will say Abigail's been, like, you get the first impression, Rose. It's totally fine that like she's not getting a ton of airtime now. We can kind of sideline her while the drama goes on. We certainly want to keep her away from it. But she definitely needs, if she needs a group date, Rose, or a one-on-one pretty soon. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm going to get a little worried about that prediction. Mm-hmm. But because we haven't seen a ton of her, but I think she's too likable and her story is, you know, just great.
I also want to see more of Kit because she's like Cynthia Rowley's daughter. Do you know this?
I've heard. I don't know who Cynthia Rowley is, but I know she's somebody.
She's a I just want to hear more about Kit's life. That's all.
No, I agree. But I think Kit's generally kind of immature. I know people who have met her and they
in the Chicago social scene.
No, New York. Because I was just like, who? Like, I tell me, like, what do you know? And they're just like, she was fine, not very impressionable, not offensive. Just
Well, I can't wait to see what happens on the next episode of Matt and the Mean Girls, our new favorite sitcom.
I'm entertained this season, and so if nothing else, they're doing their job. Oh, didn't even talk about it. We don't have much. We don't have any time. But
the
boxing,
we
didn't talk about boxing. And I just got to say, they were really hitting each other in the face.
Oh my gosh. That was. What did you. Because we've seen, like, on. Were you on Caitlyn's season when it was this wrestling date?
No, I missed all that. That was great. I missed the boxing. I missed the wrestling.
Was it surprisingly aggressive to you? Did you feel like they were hitting on a level harder than you thought they were?
On this?
Yes.
Yeah. They were like going for each other's faces.
I was like, I could never do this. I would be like, can we do like a slam poetry battle? Like, I was surprised by how hard our girl Katie went in this.
Katie is not afraid of anything.
I guess it seemed like everybody really had some aggression to work out. And Matt went ahead and ended it. I think we needed to end it.
Well, yeah, once one of his favorites got hit in the face, he was like, all right, shut it down.
Not Serena P. And it also felt like them getting that aggression out didn't really do anything. I thought they were going to come back a little toned down. No, didn't really do anything.
No. Well, anyway, Lauren, thank you so much. Always a pleasure to be recapping these episodes with you. I hope, you know, it's weird. I want the drama to continue. I hope that some of these women are able to redeem themselves because it was a very disappointing and they're, I was very disappointed. I feel like this, like,
I feel like they needed to bring you in and be like, Nick is disappointed.
No, I would never have stopped him. I would have let it play out, but I'm still be like, oh, I'm disappointed in you. It's great TV, but
I know. I'm excited to see where next week goes in terms of if some of the new women show like viciousness of their own, or if this gives an opportunity for these new women to really take a step up because the OGs are being so over the top mean.
Well, it would be really interesting if they try going after Michelle. Because I think Michelle is above that mm-hmm. drama, and Matt really likes her. And I think that's where, you know, when Matt steps in, you know, that's yeah. for, but I think it might just be enough to be like, hey, they're spreading toxic rumors about mm-hmm. being an escort, and is going to shut it down real quick. There was so much to talk about this episode that we wanted to read excerpts from Chris's book. Do you read them to Chris? Does he read them to you?
I think I'm going to start making him read them to me. One regret he has is he wishes he'd done the audiobook version himself, so maybe we'll see that in the future.
Wait, he didn't?
He didn't.
But there is.
No, because he wrote this a few years ago. People have been messaging me asking if it's me on the cover. It's not. He wrote this a couple years back.
Let's see if...
Yeah, please just read to us whatever you find.
And he wrote this whole thing by himself? He wrote no ghostwriter or anything like that?
I don't know. This was before we were together. This book's had like a resurgence. Let's just... I've flick to a random page here. He won't catch me. It's not catching you I'm worried about. He's a hell of a shot, you know. Oh, God, there's guns. Okay, wow.
It's the Oklahoma in him, the Texas.
Oh, gosh. Okay, flip to another page. I just can't believe I'm kissing you, he murmured. It's like you're not real. This is some kind of dream. And in a few more minutes, I'm going to wake up back home. I'm real, she said. I'm a promise. I'm real if you are. Okay.
Make sure to check out Chris's book.
Okay. Ooh, I want to be real. All right. Well, thank you for having me to your home.
Thanks for coming.
I can't wait to get the tour right when we're done here. I'm about to see what Nick Vial's bedroom looks like.
There
we'll
you go.
Report back.
Okay. Thank you guys for listening. As always, to tune in tomorrow for Ricky Williams and astrology, horoscopes, and life. You will not want to miss that. Go check out our Ask Nick episodes. Sending your questions at asknick@castme.com, cast with a K. Thank you for putting up with any technical difficulties we might have on this episode, given that we had a power outage at the studio. So hopefully things all come together and we should be back in there next time. Other than that, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, where can people find you?
Yes, you can follow me at Lauren Zima on all the social platforms. And check out Roses and Rosé, which is my Bachelor review show. It is not a podcast. It's a show. It's on Entertainment Tonight's YouTube channel. Let's go see Nick Vial's house.
All right.
Let's go check out the actual Bachelor mansion.